The gospel lesson this morning comes from the 26th chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 26 to 28. And again, these should be familiar words to most of us, but even though they are familiar, try to hear them again as if for the first time. What do these words have to offer you today, this very particular point on your faith journey? While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Since we're outside, it's a beautiful day. It's kind of a festive feeling. I thought that it would be a good idea to start out with a game of sorts, a little participation here among those gathered. Right, Elsa? Okay, good. All right. And it's the game I call Name That Quote. Okay, so what I'm going to do, the way it works is I'm going to read a quote, and then you are going to try to guess the source of that quote, okay? You know, quotes, great words at work. That's what they are. Common quotes, great words at work. Okay. Are you ready? We'll start out a little easy. "I'll be back." Very good, Kenny. "The Terminator." That was too easy. Okay, how about this one? "Get busy living or get busy dying." Okay, who said that? Very good. Shawshank Redemption. If you haven't seen it, watch it. All right. How about this one? "Go ahead." Oh, okay. Yeah, you have to say. Who said that? No. Chad Simmons said that. All right, next. "Life is like a box of..." Okay, we're gonna ratchet up a little bit here. Okay. "When in the course of human events..." Oh, my goodness. Okay, think back. July 4, Thomas Jefferson, and what writing? Okay, oh, my goodness. Okay, this is going to be tough then for you guys. Okay, 80. Okay, and where? Gettysburg. All right, good enough. How about this? "Ask not what your country can do for you." Kennedy. Okay, all right, okay. Okay, how about this one? "Where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail." Jody Cleveland? Yes, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Thank you, Jody. Okay, how about this one? "Spread love everywhere you go. Let no one come to you without leaving happier." Bob Starks? Yes, Mother Teresa. Very good. All right, tell me that. Me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. Come on. Carl Schaefer? Yes. Benjamin Franklin. Thank you, Carl. Okay. Quotes are words that change lives, especially certain quotes. And you know, maybe not Dirty Harry or the Terminator, but others. And while quotes naturally come to your mind, what are some that come to your mind right now? Just think, what's a quote that you hold on to, a quote that you go to maybe certain times? You know, well, how about this? How about we do Bible quotes? We're at church, right? This will be easy, right, for church people. Right, Chad? Okay, good. How about this one? "The Lord is my shepherd." Somebody heard that one. Yes, Chad, Psalm 23. Very good. How about this one? "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus." Luke chapter 2 or Linus. Right? Okay. Okay, one more. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." John. Okay. Okay. Anyway, you get the idea. I'm going to read now to you the number one quote in all of history. It's been quoted and re-quoted more than any other. And here it is. This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's an often quoted line in history. All right. But you know what? Believe it or not, that quote is not from the Gospels that I just read. No, no, no. It predates the Gospels. It's from the Apostle Paul in his first epistle to the Corinthians. It's the earliest reference anywhere in history to the institution of the Lord's Supper. The earliest reference. In our church, we call the Lord's Supper or communion or the Eucharist. We call it a sacrament. We call it a sacrament. And the word sacrament derives from the Latin word sacramentum. You know, but the word I like that the early church used is a Greek word mysterion or mystery. And that's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is. It's a great mystery. The table. What happens at this table and around tables across the world today is a mystery. It just is. Whatever happens just is. It reconstitutes the church every single time we gather. It calls us to ministry anew. He just said, this is my body. This is my body. Exactly what did he mean by that? I tell you, after years of wrestling with it, I don't really get it. I still really don't quite understand it. And I think that anyone claims to understand what that means exactly, deceiving themselves. Mystery. Communion is a mystery, folks. He held up a loaf of bread. He said, this is my body. And those gathered around that table 2,000 years ago, they weren't systematic theologians. No. They weren't seminary-trained clergy. They're just ordinary people seeking the kingdom of God about which Jesus had told them. A kingdom which they, fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, were welcome. All in their inglorious brokenness. This is my body, broken for you. I think one of the great mysteries of communion is wrapped up in this very simple statement. If we were gathering inside, it was a traditional year, and I had time for the kids up front, they would come forward. Time and time again, I've used that communion time to talk about different types of bread. And the point of the whole children's sermon is that bread is very universal. Almost every culture that I've ever seen or heard of has some sort of basic sustenance that's related to bread somehow. So when Jesus said, this is my body broken for you, and he offered them this basic life, they got it. They got it on some deep level. You know, he knew the connections that many of the disciples would make that evening. He knew that they would remember the events of the evening. So if you remember, the Last Supper, they were gathered to celebrate Passover. You know, God's grace, God's deliverance. Jesus knew that they would make that connection, and he probably would go back to say, the manna that was given to Israelites. Or maybe they would remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, imploring the people to show faithfulness by sharing their bread with the hungry. Maybe they would call to mind that day when Jesus on the hillside, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and he fed a multitude miraculously. Or maybe he would recall the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Most basic petition of life. Paul puts it this way. The bread that we break, not a sharing in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one because we partake of the one bread. This is my body broken for you. What does it mean to participate in communion? We're going to participate in just a moment. Those who feel comfortable doing so are invited to come forward in a little bit to commune. You know, what does it mean to participate in communion? I don't know. It's a mystery, but what I do know is that incredible things have happened when the community gathers and they break bread together. I saw it last night. I've seen it around the table in a very special after year. When we share bread, we realize that we are connected at some very fundamental level. Every one of us. Today's World Communion Sunday. Christians around the world today are gathered around their tables. And they're breaking bread. And they're quoting this quote, this is my body broken for you. And as they break this bread, they remember who they are. More importantly, whose they are. And the story that binds their hearts together. Some will come forward to a communion rail and kneel. Some will stay in their pews and receive communion. Some will be outside like this. Some will be inside. Some will be drinking out of a common cup, maybe not as many today as historically have been. Some will be using little small cups like we will up here today. Some will be using wine. Some will be using grape juice. All different languages will be used to share this time together. But somehow, we will all be one. So why communion? Because communion. Because the grace of God somehow intersects our lives when we gather at the table. One of the earliest Christian writings that still exists today is one called the Teaching of the 12 Disciples, called the Didache. And it's the earliest reference in that book, it's the earliest reference to how to do baptism. It's the very earliest record of the church. It's within about 60 years of the death and resurrection of Jesus. But there's also a section about how to celebrate communion. And I just want to share this, probably one of the best quotes of all time. As this broken bread was scattered upon the mountains, was brought together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Now that's a quote. Friends, welcome back to the table. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've been together for communion. And I pray that somehow, as we share the story, as we break bread, we will be one. But the oneness will go beyond this community and reach across this world. And our lives in this world will be changed. And I tell you all, everyone here is invited to commune with us. You don't have to be a church member. You just have to want to be here and come and share bread and share a cup and share the grace of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.